Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, today is Reformation Sunday, the day on which, accompanied by brass and timpani and full-throated choirs, beautiful anthem, thank you, we have a chance to give thanks for the Protestant Reformation and in particular Martin Luther's rediscovery of the gospel of grace, the promise that we do not have to earn God's love through anything we do, but that we are accepted as we are by grace alone. Our scripture reading today continues our exploration of the book of Genesis, focusing this morning on the call of Abraham. In some ways, this story is the beginning of the whole of the history of the Israelites, the people of the promise that God made to Abraham in today's reading. And so, naturally, given this auspicious day and this important passage, I will begin this sermon with a story about ice cream. In 1994, Ben and Jerry's released a new ice cream flavor that over the next few years became one of their best sellers. I discovered it in the early 2000s, shortly after moving to Minnesota to teach at Luther Seminary. Not only did it quickly become my favorite flavor, but I renamed it the Lutheran ice cream because it embodied an important element of Martin Luther's theology called the efficacious word. Why don't you say that with me? The efficacious word. Very good. Now, by efficacious, Luther meant that God's word is active, effective, powerful, calling into existence what it names. The word, Luther liked to say, does what it says. He would point as a prime example to the first few verses in Genesis that we read a few weeks ago. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Another example, maybe a little more down-to-earth or personal. You do not have to be lovable or become lovable to earn God's love. God calls you beloved, that is, loves you, and suddenly you are lovable. That's the efficacious word, the word that does what it says. And this ice cream, at least in my experience, was like that. It did what it said. Because that combination of vanilla malt ice cream with peanut butter stuffed pretzels coated in chocolate and swirled together with ribbons of more peanut butter and more chocolate was and is called Chubby Hubby. And the more I ate it, the more I became it. Now, I know what you're thinking. Oh, Pastor Lowe's, you're not chubby. Thank you. That's because I don't eat it anymore. But that ice cream, like God's word, is efficacious. It does what it says. All right, so why this discursion into ice cream history and my ridiculous lack of willpower? Because in thinking this past week about the call of Abraham and in anticipation of Reformation Sunday, my experience with Chubby Hubby actually helped me to answer a question I have been wondering about for years. Why did Abraham go? Let's go back to the story again for a moment. In the last few verses of the 11th chapter of Genesis, the author traces the descendants of Noah across multiple centuries until we get to a man named Abram, living in the territory of Haran, which is in modern-day Turkey. Abram, whose name will soon be changed to Abraham, is, as we heard, 75 years old, and he and his wife Sarah are childless. When all of a sudden, God calls out to him, "Go from your country and your kindred, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Go, that is, from everything and everyone you've ever known to a land I'm not even going to name yet. But don't worry, I'll show you. And if you go, I will make you 75-year-old childless husband to a barren wife. I will make you a father and grandfather and patriarch of a great nation, and I will bless you so that you will be a blessing to all. It is an astounding call and promise. And perhaps the only thing more astounding in the book of Genesis are the three words that follow as the author continues, "So Abraham went." He went. How? Why? Where did this courageous faith and audacious trust come from? I have wondered that for years, pretty sure that had I been in his shoes, I would have offered a different answer. Something along the lines of, "Hey, God, I so appreciate that offer. I really do. But I'm kind of comfortable here in Haran, settled, happy in my retirement, surrounded by my family. So why don't you check in with one of my nieces or nephews?" Why did Abraham go? Well, in thinking about that efficacious ice cream this past week, I realized the answer is that Abraham went because God called him. It's not something innately great or brave or amazing about Abraham. In fact, in the chapters that follow, Abraham will doubt God's promises, fall short of God's call, and fail in his faith numerous times. No, Abraham was not destined from birth to be a great hero of the faith who unflinchingly answers God's summons. Rather, God's call and promise made Abraham the kind of person willing to follow God. That's what God's effective, active, powerful word does. It calls things into being. It creates something that wasn't previously there. It does what it says. It is the same efficacious word that is at the heart of Luther's Reformation. In fact, at one point when people were crediting Luther with the reforms that were overtaking Germany, he denied it vehemently, saying, "I simply taught, preached, and wrote God's word. Otherwise, I did nothing. And while I slept or drank Wittenberg beer with my friends Nicholas and Philip, the word so greatly weakened Rome that no prince or emperor ever inflicted such losses upon it. The word did it all." All right, here is the deal. At some point in the coming days or weeks or years, you too will be called to something you did not expect. It might even be something you do not want. Maybe it will be to take a leap of faith in your career or in a relationship. Maybe it will be to try something entirely new or even to move to a new place. Or maybe it will be to care for a parent or spouse with Alzheimer's, or to carry on after the loss of a loved one, or to continue to maintain hope in the face of illness, or maybe just to keep doing good when the world feels like it's falling apart. But whether that call is to something kind of exciting or is unbelievably difficult, when it comes, you will likely feel daunted, unprepared, ill-equipped for the challenges ahead. But hear and know this: when that call comes, you will respond with faith and courage that you didn't even know you had. Because it is God who is calling you. Not, let me be clear, God putting challenges in your way or creating tragedy to test you, but God calling you to respond to whatever comes with faith, hope, and courage, so that you may be a blessing to others. And as God calls you, God will also promise to be with you, walking along with you every step of the way, even when you hesitate or doubt or fall short, because that's what God does. God keeps faith with us even when we falter. God loves us as we are, and God promises to hold on to us through all things. And so while I do not know what kind of call you may encounter or what kind of challenges lie ahead, I do know that when the time comes, you, like Abraham and Luther and countless others across the centuries, you will go. You will rise to the occasion. You will be sufficient to the challenges of the day. And you, too, will be a blessing to all. Because, you see, God's efficacious word just does that. It creates something new. It equips you with what you need. It does what it says. So do not fear, for it is God who is calling. And you will answer with faith, hope, and courage created by God's strong word. Thanks be to God. Amen.